Members, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We have enough for a quorum of the Transportation Policy Finance Committee meeting for March 7th, 2011 is called to order. Our capable committee legislative assistant will note the roll as you come and go. Members, we do have minutes from the last meeting. Anyone but Representative Saunders is welcome to move the minutes. Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes of the previous meeting.
Members, any comment, discussion? Seeing none, let's vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you. We've adopted the minutes. We're going to have a continuation of the budget presentation by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety today. Who is? Oh, hi. Come on up to the stand and... Members, let me be clear. This is not a continuation from last Wednesday, but Public Safety was here a while ago and are going to come back now and take up their presentation. So welcome to the committee. Refresh our memories on all of your names and for the folks listening at home on the internet, and we'll stay with you as you go through the presentation.
Good afternoon, Representative Beard, members of the committee. My name is Mona Doman. I'm the Commissioner of Public Safety. I'm on day five of my new job, so I am pleased to be here and look forward to working with you. And with me today, and who will be doing most of the presentation for you today and answering your questions, is our Deputy Commissioner Mary Ellison and our Director of the Division of Vehicle Services, Pat McCormick. And I'll turn it over to Deputy Commissioner Ellison.
Commissioner Doman, let me welcome you to the committee and welcome to government service at the commissioner level. Let us know how we can be helpful, and I'm sure we'll be chatting about several things as we put this budget together over the next, well, this year, but maybe some policy things even going forward to next year. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ms. Ellison, are you going to be next? Welcome back. It's good to see you again.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. For the record, my name is Mary Ellison, Deputy Commissioner within the Department of Public Safety. What we thought we would do today is just go quickly through the slides for the driver and vehicle services, and my impression from the last meeting was that you had a lot of questions about driver and vehicle services, and specifically about the change item related to the Minnesota licensing and registration system. So to direct your attention again, driver and vehicle services is located on pages 80 to 89 of your budget book.
And Ms. Ellison, if you'd hold on for just a moment, I want to find the, because I think you handed out a report when we were here before. Members, if you have that in your save file, or in your budget books. Is it this one? All right, we tried to save some trees here. If you get us just a moment to get teed up for you. Is it this one? And what page are you starting on today?
Mr. Chair, the driver and vehicle services budget starts on page 80 of your budget.
Page 8, here we go.
I'm sorry, you're at the slides.
I'm on the slides, we're looking at that.
Did you? Mr. Chair, just give me a moment.
Page,
are you at driver and vehicle services?
I do, and it's on page 8, page 9, page 10. No, I've got the base budget. Perhaps I don't have mine. Here.
Page 9, bottom.
There is a second one. Members, there are two of these presentations. So we're looking at the biennial budget book.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we were here and gave you a presentation on the base budget as it existed for this past biennium. And so you did have a slide presentation for that, and now we're on the 12-13 governor's recommendation. Unfortunately, I don't have the slides in front of me since
we have,
I do have
them now.
In front of me, but not in a paper form.
Our paper form, members, is at the bottom of page 9, and thank you referring to the big book, pages 80 and 89. Ron, thank you for turning the heat up in here today. I may actually have to take my jacket off, but it sure beats freezing to death like we've done in the past. So to our page. Thank you for finding the thermostat. Members, are we all with the program now? The chair is. So if our chair is with it, everybody else probably is as well. Ms. Ellison, thank you for the diversion. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, Driver and Vehicle Services' mission is to provide fair, accurate, secure, and timely service through effective service options, accurate collection of data, fraud prevention, efficient collection of state revenue, and quality information and technical support for staff and business partners. The Driver and Vehicle Services Division has 538 employees working in 98 locations throughout the state. For the 12-13 biennium, the governor recommends $111.9 million in all funds, $95,468,000 from the Special Revenue Fund, $16,470,000 from the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. The Driver and Vehicle Services Division collects approximately $950 million a year in state revenue. The change item that we have that I imagine we'll get into talking about in more detail is located on page 11. Minnesota Statutes 299A.705 provides for a DVS technology special revenue account. This account, this special revenue of $1.75 surcharge on DVS vehicle and license-related transactions was put into place in order to collect funds sufficient to provide for a complete replacement of the driver and vehicle information system. And we can get into great detail about that system, but there are thousands and thousands of users. The system is a 1980s mainframe system that has been web-enabled over the years, and it is at the point now where it is in great danger of no longer being viable. We have more and more increases in the amount of information that we are asked to provide through that system, and we need to bring it into the 21st century.
So there's going to be several questions about this part, I'm sure. We'll start with Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you tell the committee when was this surcharge first put on the backs of the taxpayers, how much money was collected, and how much money has been expended for this purpose? I do believe the surcharge is set to expire, right? And I want to know what the department's intention is with that expiration.
Ms. Ellison?
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, the fees started to be collected in 2009. And we have been collecting that $1.75 since then. It generates about $1 million a month. And we have about $15 million right now set aside for use in creating the new system. The item that you see in front of you is a request to extend that surcharge deadline to the end of 2015. Mm-hmm. The reason for the extension is that we've been in the process of doing the pre-design for the Minlar system and then issuing a request for proposal so that we can build out the system. We are now in final negotiations with a vendor to begin work on actually building that system.
Follow-up, Ms. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The math doesn't quite add up to me. If it's over $1 million a month, Mr. Chairman, and we've been collecting from since 2009, was it only a part of the year in 2009 that we're only up to $15 million?
Ms. Ellison, I'm sure we've got an expert that can speak to that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, I apologize. I'm going to turn it over to Pat McCormick. She can give you more detail.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, Pat McCormick, the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services. The current balance in the account is $28,055,132. We, in fiscal year 9, we expended $412,000, a little over $412,000. In fiscal year 10, $3.7 million. And fiscal year 11, we've expended $3 million and encumbered $1.7 million. But we are in negotiations at this current time with the selected vendor in our procurement process. And so the department expects to have to encumber money for that contract before the end of this fiscal year.
So, Ms. McCormick, would it be when in 2009 did we start collecting the fee at the rate of about $1 million a month? And is the $12 million a year then, is it actually a little more than that if we're up to 20-some million in the account? Because I imagine which month we started probably impacts the balance we have on hand.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we started collecting it at the beginning of the fiscal year on July 1st.
Okay.
And it does average from month to month, and our finance director, Frank Ahrens, is here if you have additional financial questions that he may be better able to respond to Representative Viskins.
Follow up? Or?
Well, I think, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for allowing the brief pause in the presentation on this section, because when we look at government and government accountability and getting the best bang for the taxpayer dollars, we were told when this passed into law that they would have sufficient revenues to get this done, and that's why we're not going to extend it. We need this much money. And that's what we were told as legislators. And now we're coming to that point. And there's a boatload of money. I'm not saying there's not a lot of money. And now all of a sudden we need to extend because, shoot, it's not quite enough. I think, and I'm not blaming the department, all right, but we have the fiduciary responsibility to taxpayers, and we better hold to that.
Ms. Ellison or Ms. McCormick, this is going to be an area of interest for us to drill down into a little bit. Would it be helpful to take a pause now and do that, or are we going to come back at some point to this? Because while the questions are fresh, and can we have an engaging conversation now and still have you finish your presentation today?
Mr. Chair, it seems like this is a very high concern for the mm-hmm. committee, so let's take the time and have the discussion. In terms of the technology fee being extended, I mm-hmm. certainly understand the questions that legislators have. And the level of scrutiny that you want to provide. And so we're willing to answer whatever questions there are. But we feel very, very strongly that we are, in fact, handling the change for this system, that it's a vital system. It is costing more than we originally anticipated. That's unfortunate, but I feel that we really are, from a fiduciary standpoint, being very responsible with how we are negotiating this contract, all of the requirements we set up for the contract, and that we will be delivering a system that we will all be proud of.
When we had this discussion, I remember this discussion of 2 years ago when we put this fee in place. It covers all transactions related to driver's license and title exchanges, if I'm not mistaken. Is there more that's involved in the $1.75 transaction fee? Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, it involves all driver's license, all title and registration transactions.
Okay. Even if they come through the deputy registrars, everyone pays it, if I recall. Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, you are correct.
Okay. Representative Biskin?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I have to take issue with the testimony. All right. We're sorry it went over. When this was put on, we were told that by 2012 there would be enough money collected, and there's been a boatload of money collected, but now we find out that at $1 million a month, we're $36 million short of what you now say is needed if the proposal is to extend the surcharge through fiscal year 2015. That's not a little mess. That's a huge mess, and so another boatload of money. I don't know what kind of computers we are purchasing or what kind of system, but when you look at the total price of this system, it's outrageous.
It would appear, Ms. Ellison, that there's been about 100% error in the original estimation. Can you give us some of the background story on how we what we got into and what we found as things went along? I'm sure there must be a reason that things have gone in this direction.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm going to start out and then I'm going to ask Ms. McCormick to follow in as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we first proposed the $1.75 surcharge, we were very reluctant to put an end date of fiscal year 12 because we were just frankly starting the process. Mm-hmm. But we knew that we would have to come back to the legislature and justify whatever we were doing at whatever point in time. So we agreed to put this end date of fiscal year 12, and the testimony that I provided at the time would be that we would have to come back because inevitably there would be a charge, an ongoing charge for keeping the system fresh and up to date. So it was not a surprise to me when people came and said we were going to have to extend the surcharge a longer time because it was going to cost additional money. What we did between the time we put the sunset date for this surcharge and originally anticipated the system is that we looked at every single business practice that we do within driver and vehicle services. We mapped it out. We looked at all the processes that we would need to improve or change in preparation for this system. We studied what other states have done. Some states have had some pretty big failures in the area of trying to implement driver and vehicle services systems. And so we looked at what they had done and learned from their mistakes. We went into a pre-design process where we really put out a request for proposal and hired the best company that we could find to really scope this out and do a much better and much closer look at what exactly this was going to cost. And so I can tell you those are the steps that we've made. Do we wish that we weren't having to spend more money? Of course, but this is the reality. And this system has not been substantially upgraded since the 1980s. That was before there were laptops. So what has happened over time is that we have basically web-enabled this system, and it is not holding up. And so it's sort of like anything that you own or any business that you're involved in, you have to invest in the infrastructure. We are trying to invest as realistically and as responsibly as we can. The reality of it is costing more than what we originally anticipated. Now I would like Ms. McCormick to follow up with any details she thinks are relevant.
Certainly, Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, as Commissioner Ellison stated, when in the rescoping of the project and the surveys that we did with very many other states, because motor vehicle systems are currently, there's a majority of the states that are redesigning their motor vehicle systems because they're very complicated. That is a huge project to take on, and so we talked to very many states. We visited a couple of states, Iowa for one, to get a better sense of how their redesign was going and what mistakes had been made and what we could learn from them. And one of the major things that we learned is that you need to ensure that you are phasing it in slowly, that all the data is cleaned up before you insert that data into a new system. And so while we did talk originally about phasing it in, we looked much more closely at the pace of phasing it in. And in determining that, we realized that we would have to host not only our current system, but we'd have to complete all the hardware and software for a new system in order to even be able to begin implementing the newly designed portions of our system in that process. And so as a result, the hosting costs were doubled what we had originally estimated that they would be, as well as the costs have increased significantly, and at least 10% of our program costs, our project costs, will involve the hosting costs for both systems because we can only gradually implement this system so that we're sure we don't have a failure, which has happened in some states where the whole system has crashed. They've had to close it down, redo it, and come back. It happened in Montana with their vehicle services. It happened in Indiana with their driver's licenses, where they were not able to issue for about a month while they were regrouping and getting back to starting again. So we've learned those lessons, we think. We've learned them in the way we're approaching it. In addition, the data cleanup has turned out to be much more extensive than we thought it was. And so we are spending a great deal of time. We have, we're using a lot of our staff, but we also had to bring in staff that have expertise in mainframe systems so that we're sure, because we have such a fragile information system that we're working on right now, that we don't do anything that will cause problems for the current system and our current processes. And so those were all things that have added to the costs that are associated with this project.
Please tell me we have this all backed up somewhere. Carbonite or something?
Mr. Chair, yes, we have backups every night.
In a very small way, I lived through a crash of a 1984 system in one of the companies I bought, and every night the ladies faithfully backed it up, and they were backing up the directories, I think. None of the data, turns out, was going on the tape, and our machine ate itself, and that was a very expensive and time-consuming rebuild. In this process, we have a lot of partners around the state that work with us. I'm thinking of the auto dealers. I'm thinking of the deputy registrars, every county that does services for us. How have they been involved in helping you design what this does and how it can better serve the public through some of our public or private partners and other partners? Either Ms. Ellis or Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Ellison has an advisory group that contains all the state agencies that are involved with us, and then we have some private agencies, for instance, LifeSource, who uses our data for their donor program. She has a committee that she meets with. We have been to every single agency to map out how they use our system and their requirements, so that has been part of our process so far. We have involved not in an intensive way at this point, but we've compiled as-is-to-be documents documenting our business process. We have included dealers and deputy registrars, private and public, in these processes, so that they have been available. Once we start in the designing of the project, they will be involved as well, so that we have their input as part of the process.
Thank you. These people are working with real-world off-the-shelf software now, I believe. I would encourage you, and I think the committee would, to involve them as deeply as you can, because I think they'll really help speed it up and bring the cost down. It would be my fond hope. Representative Szymanski, I think, had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. McCormick or Ms. Ellingson, you had referred when we talked about the accumulated funds there of about $28 million, and then you had also noted some substantial disbursements. Those are already going to the vendors to pay for their work in progress here on this?
McCormick,
Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski, let me correct. The reason that $15.8 million was in my mind is that we have $15.8 million that we're expected to carry forward from funds that we currently have into fiscal year 12. There's currently $28 million in the account, and I'm going to let Ms. McCormick talk about what's been spent so far.
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and a representative, some of the money that has been spent have been spent in hiring our technical team that's needed for the project, as well as we did an RFP that we issued an RFP and had a vendor assist the department and the division with putting together the business requirements that were used in the RFP process for the design and build vendor. And so those were some of the costs associated with that, as well as having RFIs that need to be held so that you explain to the vendors, we get information from them so we know what's out there, and then we use that in order to write our RFP for the design and build vendor. So those are all costs associated that have been paid for so far, as well as some of the costs that have been associated with the data cleanup project that we're working on.
Follow-up, Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. McCormick, you had referenced you hired some tech team. Are those DPS employees then, or are they contract employees working for the department?
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Representative Szymanski, some of them are DPS employees, and some are experts that we brought in specifically for this project.
Representative Vogel has a question. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on that, how many new employees then did we bring in? Because I see we spent over $400,000 in 2009 and 3.7 million in 10. How many new employees did we bring in?
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Representative, they're all temporary employees. None of them are permanent. Some of them we moved from DVS to the Minlars team so that we had experts, especially at the manager level, that could work with our staff. And as far as the technical people, I'm not sure how many there are, but I'm sure I could get that information for you. Mm-hmm. I think we have a team of about 25 individuals all together that are working on it at the current time.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. McCormick, I'm noticing on page 11 in document 2, you also deal apparently with the interstate truck licensing and fuel tax, the prorate plates. Does that fall under this as well?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, that we, in our RFP, we looked at that as an optional program that we would like to mm-hmm. include. We haven't decided yet. We're working on negotiations at the current time with the selected vendor, and so until we have a final contract, whatever it is, our system has to be able to interact with our prorate system.
Well, it leads to a question then about how deeply involved is the State Patrol and probably the Department of Homeland Security in this whole thing. Are they weighing in on this as well? Because I know we, especially when it gets into interstate commerce, Homeland Security has taken a pretty deep interest in truck driver licensing and truck registrations and where they move, when they move, and so on and so forth.
Mr. Chair, in terms of Homeland Security and I think motor carrier safety improvement, mm-hmm. we are keeping them updated, and certainly they're part of a group of advisors that we need to ensure that we're actively working on several projects to try to come into compliance right now with Motor Carrier Safety Administration. And also we're working to make sure that we're complying with the Department of Homeland Security's secure driver's license program.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I might add, this is one of the reasons why we need a new system, because we have these intensive new requirements coming down the pike from the federal government mm-hmm. on a continuous basis. And every time we have one of these requirements that come through, we're in crisis mode because we have a timeline under which we have to meet the requirement or we lose substantial federal funding. And so, again, then we're in this process of trying to jerry-rig this mainframe system to try to make it work, which further complicates the issues as we move forward. So, absolutely, we're including all of those federal requirements from the different agencies we work with as we build this system.
It may be a rhetorical question, but have the feds volunteered any of their money to help pay for this as we come into compliance on this, or are we pretty much going to do the $1.75 fee extension to make it all work?
Mr. Chair, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration has provided us with several grants that we're using in order to meet their regulations, because we have had so much difficulty. Because our system is so old, mm-hmm. we have already spent several million dollars trying to come into compliance, and that money was made available through Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration so that we could hire outside experts to come in. There's one group of mainframe programmers that are available throughout the United States that have come in to help us with motor carrier, or else the state would lose $23 million on an annual basis in highway funds if we hadn't brought them in.
Hmm. This sounds like a whole other topic for a whole other committee meeting someday, the whole business of the feds withholding money for things. But thank you. That's helpful for us to know that they're actually trying to help us accommodate some of this. Further questions on this topic? I'm sure we're going to come back at sometimes as things occur to us, because this has been an ongoing struggle to kind of bring a 1980s mainframe up to today, and we're hopeful that whatever happens. I remember when a few years ago when the revisor's office got away from, I believe, a COBOL-based mainframe system and went with what amounted to Word on a PC operating environment, that if I believe that's what they ended up doing, it's become way faster, way less expensive, and much more efficient. Of course, whenever we're cranking out amendments by the hundreds, sometimes you wonder who won that deal. But nonetheless, just carry that thought going forward, and we'll be hearing about this more, I'm sure. Please proceed. I don't see any other questions at the moment. So,
the services that driver and vehicle services provide include title and registration, driver examination, driver compliance, driver's license issuance, special plates and disability parking credentials, auto dealer licensing and salvage vehicle inspection, interstate truck licensing and fuel tax, public information center, document management and records. That completes the presentation on driver and vehicle services. This last slide here is about Office of Pipeline Safety, and we did cover that as part of our overview the last time we were here. So then I would just open it up for any questions in general that the committee has.
Thank you, members. Further questions for Ms. Ellison, Representative Schimansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to back up a little bit to the previous subject of the driver vehicle services. With the implementation of the new program back in 2009 when the issue was brought up, what did you anticipate the budget for this project would be? And today, what do you anticipate the budget for this technical upgrade will be?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schimansky, I don't know that we knew back in 2009 exactly what it was going to be. We knew that other states had spent about $60 million on their systems. Right now, we estimate that the total cost, once it's all complete, will be about $93 million.
I'm sorry, I had people talking in both ears while I was trying to read your lips. Your question was how this was going, how much for the total package when it's done.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. The question was, what did they project for a cost in 2009 when this upgrade was proposed, and what it was today?
You're thinking about 93 now.
Mr. Chair, the best estimate I have right now is $93.7 million by the time everything is complete.
Ms. Ellison, this has been done in several other states. Indiana is probably comparable population-wise to ours. Is there any chance that any of that could just be translated, moved over, or is it all proprietary and copywritten that tightly? Or are we asking ours to do more than any of the other states have done? Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the main issue with that, it's not that it's necessarily proprietary, although obviously if it was direct code from another system, the vendor would have to determine whether they had an agreement to keep it proprietary. The main issue is there's very few states that operate in the same way and have the same type of registration process, have the same types of driver license process. Very many states have vehicle services in one department and driver license in another, and so it's very difficult. We've certainly looked at several states and have tried to get good information from them in terms of how they're operating and looking for best practices, and we are doing that and looking at that. But at the same time, we also are very unique with our deputy registrar and driver license agent system, and our motor vehicle registration tax is somewhat different than many other states. And so there are a lot of different things that would have to be taken into consideration. But certainly we work and we keep close ties with other states, and I'm a member of the American Motor Vehicle Administrators Organization, and we have spent a lot of time talking offline about various procurement projects and redesigning of systems so that we can learn from one another and not make similar mistakes or cause problems without realizing what we're getting into.
Thank you for your membership in that organization. We have in this state a system of the deputy registrars. You mentioned them, and especially for the new folks on the committee, it makes being able to deal with St. Paul on licensing issues, registration issues, I think, a lot more convenient for the general public. Do you have any idea how many other states have a system like this, or are we kind of unique in that regard?
Mr. Chair, there's one other state that has deputy registrars, and that is the state of Ohio. There are several states that have county treasurers that serve in those capacities as well, including Kansas and Iowa, which are in our region of the country.
Thank you. Representative Murray had a question or comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier in the presentation, you'd mentioned that we had costs from both systems that we were maintaining to for a backup, that type of thing. What is the cost to maintain both systems, and what will drop off when we get the new system fully implemented, would be my first question.
Ms. McCormick, do you want to take a stab at that?
Mr. Chair and Representative, the costs that I've only been given total costs, and it's $9.8 million. I don't know if we can get some, and that's just based on what the costs would be at this current time.
Go ahead, Ms. Ellison.
Mr. Chair, Representative, to be clear, what we are doing is what's called a phased approach rather than a waterfall approach. So we are not at one point turning on a whole new system. We are doing this in stages. So we have to keep both systems going while we're building the new system, and then we're going to be adding parts of the system as we retire old, you know, some parts, and then put on a new part, and then build another part, and then retire that old part. I don't know if that's the question you were asking. Maybe the question you were asking was how much of the old system then will we not have to pay for? Is that what you're
right, Mr. Chairman? Will we have some costs that drop off then at some point, because once you get the new system up and running, the old one you'll be able to
stop? Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Representative, the way it's been explained to me and the discussions I've had with the team is that because you need all the hardware and software, the basic underpinnings of the structure for the system, you will need to continue to keep that going for both systems up until close to the very end of the project. But I can't give you an exact timeline. Certainly we'll have more information once we have a signed contract and a project plan that we can share.
Just one other question. On D1, the attachment that we received, I have a question. You have a list of employees on there, and could you explain to me what confidential means? Under each section there's like confidential 2.6, confidential 1. Just wondering what that stands for.
Ms. McCormick, do you know what it's referring to here, the handout?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative, that refers to the fact that personnel transactions would be taking place, and so the person must be confidential in the sense that they can be privy to the information, but they are not able to share it with anyone else, and I think that person is my assistant. So that in terms of any personnel transactions, that I have someone that can help with correspondence and those kinds of things.
Would that be related to things concerning data privacy and security of that data? Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Representative, yes, and also personnel-related, human relations issues, personnel-related transactions that might involve discipline and things like that.
Follow-up, Representative Murray.
Well, there was just on you there. Quite a few on there, not just an assistant. Like, there's 13 of them on the first page. So is there that many confidential positions, or am I looking at this wrong?
They're paid out a certain fund. Do you see that? You understand the question?
Yeah, Ms. Mr. Chair, Representative, that's all the people that are paid out of a certain fund that you're looking at that are confidential employees, and so they have access to certain data that they have to treat as confidential and not share with others.
Okay, thank you. Okay, further questions? Ms. Ellison, a further comment?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm just told that that has to do with our human resources staff that happen to be paid out of that fund that are represented on the page, particular page that you're looking at.
Okay. Thank you. And we can anticipate, I know you're in a sensitive time right now in negotiations with, I think you've narrowed it down to a primary vendor you'd like to deal with. Is that correct? How long until we can know who and when we're going to be off to the races with actually implementing this.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, our goal is to have a signed contract in the spring of this year, but I'm sorry to tell you, I don't know which month.
Okay, so we're here until May something. Maybe we can hear about it before we, okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, let me just state that we've been working with very closely with the Department of Administration, and they've said it can take several months to negotiate a contract of this size. And the reason it's taken us so long is that we're going through statement of work for every single part of this project that we want to have done, because one of the mistakes we've seen made in other states is that they mainly have the procurement people treating this like a standard contract, and we have the business people involved along with our technology people negotiating every step of this contract, because we want there to be no misunderstandings as to what we need delivered by the time we need it delivered and the various subparts that need to be satisfied before we would sign off on the contract.
Thank you. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Ellison. And you answered a little bit about what I was going to ask, but do we have confidence that the vendor that your preferred vendor that you're looking at has done this before and has done this elsewhere? We're not going to be hiring a vendor and 2 years down the road or a year down the road have the same problem we're in now with a system that doesn't meet our expectations.
Ms. Ellison.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, we are working with a vendor that has put driver license information systems into place in other states. In fact, one of the requirements for the request for proposal is that we had to have a vendor that had actually successfully completed a project in another state. So the answer to that is yes. However, as Ms. McCormick said, our system is different than other states, and so we can't just go with an off-the-shelf system and then just modify it slightly for our needs. We need to make doubly sure that the vendor that we have, that we are negotiating with, understands exactly what we need to have delivered and what our criteria are for success as we go along. So it's taking a while to negotiate the contract.
Representative Nelson, follow up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess that's the concern I have. I heard what you said earlier in your presentation, and it's just that having been around some of this different other organizations that have tried to create systems and computer systems, sometimes they think they get into it, and down the road they figure out you're on the hook because you're so far in that you're stuck with having to fix the problem fix the system that they created that may never work properly. And that's the concern I have, and it sounds like you're taking the necessary precautions to make sure that, you know, like I said, I understand it's not an off-the-shelf system. It looks like you're taking the necessary precautions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ms. Nelson, that's exactly the concern.
To the extent that changing, I mean, I've heard you say a couple times, we do things a little differently here, which is one reason we can't use off-the-shelf. To the extent that we can make policy changes that would help us economize or run more efficiently, effectively, and perhaps save millions, I'm not thinking, you know, save a few thousand here or there, but if there's something significant we could do which would still keep the integrity of the titling system and registration system and the security driver's license, please tell us. We'd be happy to have a policy discussion about it. I'm sure we would all agree. We'd be happy to have a policy discussion about changing things if it could slim this down, make it come online faster and be easier to work with. Having said that, now I'm just going to make a statement that I know some of us are interested in a different method of collecting, say, a mileage tax. And I don't want you to rewrite your RFP on this thing, but just kind of carry that thought when you're talking here, that if we're into a system where that can work through this as well, instead of the old fuel tax that's collected in other ways that doesn't necessarily come through your department, just carry that thought for us. My personal request as somebody who's been involved in this for 8 years now. So, interesting. Well, thank you. Members, further questions? Otherwise, we're coming to the end of our time, and we had dedicated this entire committee to hearing about the Minlar system, and apparently we're all talked out on it today, although I see that I gave Representative Vogel a chance to form another question or thought. So, before we let you go, Representative
Vogel. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It was just too early. I just didn't want us to get out of here this early. But the one question I have would be then, is our system much more complex than some of these other systems in other states? Is that what we're getting?
Ms. McCormick or any?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm not sure. I think all motor vehicle and driver license systems are complex because of the privacy of the data, the types of transactions, the number of organizations and agencies that we interface with. We have, I think, over 40 groups that we interface with on a daily basis. And so I think that that makes it complicated in and of itself. I think that we are looking at ways that we can do business more efficiently as part of this process. We certainly want to do that and make sure that we're entering data once and not more than once. But we will be working closely with our stakeholders that are very involved in this as well to ensure that we're doing it in the most efficient way.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Well, with that, let me thank you for your time here today. Commissioner, again, welcome to state government, the Department of Public Safety, and we'll look forward. You've got some very good people working with you that I've enjoyed working with. I'm sure I speak for all of us over the past several years. And this is a very important topic. We've seen it before, so I want to spend a little time dwelling on it today. And as we move forward, let me encourage you again. We've got deputy registrars, county registrars, and all of the auto dealers out there that have a vested interest in working with you to make this work as efficiently and effectively as possible. Speedy is part of their mantra, too. They'd like it to happen timely, as I know you would. So thank you. With that, I'm going to turn the Department of Public Safety loose members, and we probably have a few other questions about the process as we're coming up on a fiscal deadline. Folks, thank you. Representative Hornstein.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chairman, you read my mind, and just wanted to express my appreciation for how specific you were last week. I understand that in other committees it wasn't quite as thorough as you were in terms of laying out the process. But I just wanted to get a sense, since what you said last week was perhaps even a week from today, a week from Wednesday, we would start work on a bill. Do you still anticipate that? Or are you thinking that we'd have a bill by the end of this week, or should we plan to kind of look at hearings and amendments on a finance bill still next Monday or Wednesday?
Representative Hornstein and members, I don't think anything's going to happen this week. I know our staff is working diligently on what kind of targets they would like. Of course, we have a way we see the world and how we'd like to solve the remaining $3.6 billion deficit. Which, of course, involve kind of living within our means. So the only thing that we can deal with here are some general fund money, and as a portion of our entire budget, that's a pretty small number, relatively speaking. So I'm up there defending us against their questions and their desires for balancing the budget. You can be relatively assured there won't be a bill mocked up this week. I'm thinking next week, maybe Wednesday-ish, but Representative Hornstein, I think you and I should probably have coffee and talk about where we're going so we can tee things up so you can respond and so we can all have a good discussion around this table. Just 2 years ago, I would be asking you these same questions or chair or leader. So, yes, I certainly understand your questions. I got to tell you, though, just in the transparency, it's been recommended, and those of you that have chaired committees before, talk about either a committee bill or a vehicle bill where we offer an amendment. And I'm not sure which way to go yet. I'm having people that have done this before explain to me the benefits of doing one or the other, or if they're a horse apiece, well, okay, we'll work with that too. So.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And so really we're looking at perhaps towards the end of next week beginning to look at something.
No promises, but I think that's a fair statement.
And then, thank you. Then one other quick question. I just wanted to get some clarity on another procedural issue that you had mentioned last week, which was you had talked about potentially having our bill at the floor, I think as early as March 28th, something to that effect. And is it your understanding that we're going to be taking the bills by finance area, for example, spending a little time with a specific transportation finance bill and then another education finance bill and then a higher ed? Or is there going to be one kind of just overall budget bill that we'll be debating, or are we going to be doing transportation separately?
Are you Are you speaking of the whole?
On the floor,
okay.
Yeah.
Now you're way over my pay grade. But let me just give an observation about the philosophy on this side of the aisle, where, not that I'm channeling former Representative Olson, but the whole business of germaneness and single subject issues is one that most of us are pretty fond of. So
of course.
I would anticipate a transportation bill would be a transportation bill and not have Veterans Affairs or Agriculture thrown in with it. And so I think that's a fair assumption.
Okay, and then thanks. So one last question then, Mr. Chair. So it sounds as if we would be among the first to be teed off. Is that your understanding?
It's my hope, and I'm hoping that.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it, Mr. Chair, and we'll get together and come up with a process, and it sounds like we'll have a straightforward bill and probably a few straightforward amendments, but nothing too complex here.
Okay. Well, it would be my hope, and again, I'm not holding you to anything, too, because after you see the bill, there may be some not-so-straightforward amendments.
Right.
But it will be an open and honest debate, and we'll talk it through, and there'll be a bill come out. And if you, any of you members, if you've got recommendations on doing a vehicle bill with an amendment or doing a committee bill, I'm all ears. You know where I am, and all I ask is you bring good chocolate when you come to see me. I'm happy to have you in. So. Any other questions or comments, members? With that, I'll declare us adjourned, and we'll see you, what's today, Monday? See you Wednesday.